good morning. Hope you're having a wonderful morning and you really enjoyed our time of singing and worship. Thank again, as I always do, thank you guys so much for the worship leaders, the singers, for doing the hard work that you do, and also for EJ and Jacqueline for the help in putting this together every Sunday. Hope you guys are doing great. Let's pray, and then we'll continue on with the message. Amen. Dearly Father God, thank you so much for allowing us to worship together this morning. Help us for our focus and our love and our energy to be all about you. You know, when we come to church in a building and we worship, sometimes we're distracted by things and we don't focus to what we should. How much more so at home? With all the things flowing around us, is it easy not really to focus on worship? Help us to clear our minds, to clear our hearts, and to let your word, through the power of your spirit, speak to us. We pray all this in your name and through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Hope you guys are doing great again. The topic this morning, let me jump right on into it. The topic this morning is, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And we'll be reading out of Luke chapter 10 when we get there, okay? You know, this is, I say it every week because it's been that way. It's crazy times. And at least for me, the longer this goes on, in some ways, the crazier it gets. You know, I know that we've opened up, kind of, but if you're like me and my family, we're staying in the house mostly, okay? And Michelle and I are both blessed to work out the home, you know, and we're able to stay and shelter and stay because it's scary out there. COVID-19 has not gone away. In fact, in many states, the numbers are higher than they've been since it started, okay? Really crazy. On top of that, man, we got protests, and we've got discussions, and we've had some riots. I think they've quieted down somewhat. But the terrible murder of George Floyd, on top of Breonna Taylor, on top of Ahmaud Arbery, and all the other men and women, black men and women who have died at the hands of the police or the hands of white vigilantes, it's exploded. And there's a lot of debate why now, right? Because this isn't the first time things like this have happened. But for whatever reason, it's caught the attention of larger America. And so discussions about racism, police brutality, systemic racism, everywhere you turn, you can't go on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and not have the discussions in your face. You can't turn on the TV without having those discussions in your face. I can't answer my cell phone without somebody calling me wanting to discuss this topic. And so all this is heavy, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing, I think, that we're having a moment that hopefully will become a movement of really dealing with racism in the systemic forms and really having equality in this country. So I think my personal opinion is overall, that's a positive discussion, but it's a hard discussion. It's hard to talk, it's hard to listen, it's hard to process. It's hard if you're white, it's hard if you're black, it's hard if you're Latino. It's a difficult discussion. And we're in the middle of a huge national discussion that's boiling over with all the emotions that it has, and also all the interactions with the protesters and the police and the things that have gone on. And you can't turn on the news, you can't watch a comedy show without being smacked in the face of it. And in the interim, COVID-19 has not gone anywhere. These are interesting times, dangerous times, exciting times. You know, there are a lot of years that go by. You know, we do history classes, right? There are a lot of years that happen, but certain years, they get their own chapter in the history book. Well, I've got to believe that 2020 is going to get its own chapter, right? And we're still living it out, and I don't know all what's going to be in that chapter, but it's going to be a mouthful. And so these are times, and we're living in them, and the pressure emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, is certainly on all of us. And we're there it's kind of like being in a movie. You know, you turn on certain movies and all these exciting things are happening and you know, it, terrible things are happening and whatever is happening. And I mean, 2020 has opened up like a crazy movie. Like you know, got this plague, this thing happening, and then you have the civil unrest is happening. So my question is, if we're in the movie of 2020, who's the hero of the story? Got a lot of players, right? Got a lot of things happening, but who's the hero of the story of 2020? My faith and my conviction, I think yours too, is the hero is Jesus. Jesus is the hero of this story and every story. And his sidekicks that help him carry out his vision of what he's doing all around us, that's his church. Church with a capital C. That's his people. That's his disciples that he calls to really be players in the heroic movement of how he's moving in our times all around us. Because whatever change that needs to be in this world, it needs to happen first and foremost in God's church. Can I get an amen from somebody out there? Give me an amen on that one. The change has to happen in the church, and we should be heroes in this story, not just spectators, not just people standing back, and certainly not villains of this story. We should be heroes. In fact, my daughter has written a book. She needs to get it published, but it's a great book. She talks about everyone is a hero, a villain, or a spectator in the story. And I think so often disciples are spectators, right? And we feel good that we're not being the villain. But we've got to let God and His Spirit be heroes. Now, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked, because that's what the sermon is about, largely. It's being a hero in the story that we're living in all around us. And the title of it is Who Is My Neighbor? It comes out. We're going to start off in Luke 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, the expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Okay, so we get in a discussion with Jesus, and the question, the great question, what must I do to have eternal life? And if you don't know the answer to that question, man, I strongly urge you to ask somebody that you know is walking with the Lord so they can help you. Don't go another day not really knowing for yourself what it takes to have eternal life with Jesus. So he asked the question. Jesus tells him, but you know, he's a teacher of the law. He's trying to justify himself. You ever done that before? You ever been wrong or, you know, didn't know something and you felt the need to justify yourself, to make yourself look, you feel like it makes you look weak that you didn't know, or weak that something was pointed out, or weak that you didn't complete a task, or you're being held accountable, and you try to justify yourself. You know, men like me are great at that. And I'll justify myself by flipping the topic, or I point the finger at the person, or what about you? What did you do? Look, we've got to have hearts that embrace correction. And when I do, I grow spiritually. When I don't, I resist the Spirit of God who is pulling me and moving me and spurring me onward and forward. We need hearts that embrace correction. We don't need hearts to want to justify ourselves when faced with correction. So I don't know what this teacher of the law expected, but whatever he expected, he felt the need to justify himself. He's trying to flip the question, well, you love the neighbor as yourself, but who's your neighbor? And trying to make it complicated when what Jesus was saying really was simple, right? And I know I do that with people, and I really do that with God. When I don't want to be convicted, I say, well, you know, but God, you know, and I have this internal conversation where I'm justifying myself and watering down the conviction that the Lord wants to give me about a situation. And that's me. Is that you too? Yeah, you know it is. Well, let's go on. But Jesus goes on and tells the parable of the Good Samaritan at this time. And most of us are familiar with the parable, but I encourage you to go ahead and read the next five verses. Read from verse 30 to 35 and go over the parable in the details. But I'm going to just give you the highlights, okay? We're not going to read the whole thing, but read it on your own. But what happens is, you know, this is dangerous road, the Jericho road that they were traveling. And on that road, there was a man who had been mugged and robbed and beaten. He's lying on the side of the road. And so a priest walks past him and promptly crosses the other side of the road and goes about his business. Says, I don't want that kind of trouble, right? Next, a Levite. So these are holy men, right? He sees the man beaten and bleeding on the side of the road. And he crosses the road and says, I don't need that kind of trouble. Definitely New Yorkers, okay? I'm just telling you. I lived in New York. That's the New York way, okay? And so he crosses the street on the other side of the road, says, I don't need that type of grief in my life. And they go about their business. Let's stop for a second. I'll finish the parable. The last is a Samaritan person that goes and helps the person, right? We'll get there. But the first two people, we know it wasn't right. We know that they should have stopped and helped, right? We get that. That's the point of the parable. But can we talk for a second? Because the truth is, I can have a lot more in common sometimes with the priest and the Levite than the Good Samaritan. You know, what happens is, this was a dangerous road they were traveling on. And it was dangerous for everybody. It was dangerous for the man that got robbed and was bleeding. But for the other people, there was danger all around. And a lot of times if I'm in a good situation, a comfortable situation, I'll be more generous. But if I'm in a dangerous situation, you know, or with this pressure or this hurt or heartache, whatever it is emotionally, I'm thinking about me. I'm going through hard times, I'm going through struggles. I'm thinking about me, I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about my troubles and my struggles. I'm not on time for your struggles and your problems. And so I being on a dangerous road, they're like, okay, I'm sorry this happened to you, but I'm looking around for me. I want to make sure that I handle the problems that I'm in and don't make my problems worse. I can't be bothered with you right now. And whether the financial problems, marital problems, health problems, you know, whatever, just the emotional impact of COVID-19, it's our own fears, our own insecurities, our own failures, our own whatever, we get so caught up in the emotional, spiritual tornado that we're in. That I know for me, when I get there, I can be the priest and the Levite. And I can be more concerned about my hard road than your situation. Look, I don't know what they were like in other situations, but in this circumstance, they were thinking about themselves, and it's not right, but I get it, because I've done it, and you've done it too. And Jesus is calling us to a higher standard than that, because the next guy, the Samaritans, they were seen as, they were half-breed Jews, mixed with whatever, and the religion was, you know, kind of mixed up and half-breed a little bit, and they were looked down on by the Jews being less spiritual and less whatever. But this Samaritan man, walking down the same dangerous road, having the same pressures and the same trials and circumstances, this is what the Bible says about him. I want to read it. He says, he saw him. Because a lot of times when stuff is swirling around us, we see people, but we don't really see people. You know what I'm saying? We see you out there struggling, but we're not. I'm so into what I'm going through, I really can't pay attention to what you're going through. And so the Bible makes a point to say that the Samaritan, he saw him. He let himself see him. And then he took pity on him. He wasn't so into his circumstance that he couldn't see the other person and take pity on that person. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're feeling, whatever anxiety or rage that's just happening because everything's swirling around you. We can't be so caught up in our headspace that we can't see what other people are going through. Have pity and empathy for the circumstance. We can't be so sure we're right about whatever we're feeling that it's not humility and pity to stop on the road to find out what's going on with somebody else that may be very different than us. That Samaritan had nothing in common really with that Jew he picked up, right? He saw him, took pity on him. He said, and then he bandages the man's wounds. It says he poured oil and wine on them. Those things cost money. But he took his own oil, his own wine, and poured it on the wounds and bandaged the man. He put the man on his donkey and then brought him to an inn and paid for that guy to be at the inn. And here's the thing. He didn't leave him. The next thing it says he did, he spent the night with him. Okay, so sometimes you get the impression he paid for the inn and he went on his way. No, he spent the night with that man to make sure he was okay. Deep concern. So he saw him, took pity on him, he bandaged the wound, but he wanted to be there to hold that man's hand to make sure he got out the worst of it. And whatever business plans he had, whatever he was doing, he stopped what he was doing and prioritized someone's needs above his own. The next morning he got up and he left some money with the innkeeper and said, look, I'm going to go for a while. Whatever this guy needs, pay for it. I'll cover it. And when I come back, if there's more than that, I'll cover that too. I mean, he just wanted to see this thing on through. Wow. Jesus calling us not to be the Levite, not to be the priest, although I can understand where they're coming from, right? As a human, I can get it. But to be the Samaritan. To be the Samaritan. He goes on in verse 36, Luke 10. Jesus, after telling the parable, he says this, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Wow. Who's my neighbor? Whoever's in need. Have mercy on people. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means a lot of things, right? But I know this. I know that when I'm hurting, when I'm going through hard times, I don't want the priest and I don't want the Levite. I have a lot of them in my life sometimes. I want the Samaritan. That's what I'm praying for, a Samaritan to take an interest in me, to not be so caught up in their own drama, to care about me, to not just call me when they need something, but to care about me and my family and my life, right? We all want a Samaritan. That's what we want. But are we willing to be the Samaritan? So I love myself, so I want a Samaritan in my life when I go through hard times. If I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, I've got to be a Samaritan and not just be caught up on my own road, my own dangerous road. I've got to be that Samaritan. You know, sometimes, some of us, man, we hurt, we want help, we want people in our life, we'll call and get advice, we'll call and get help, or we'll pray, or whatever. We need to do that more, but we'll reach out to get help. And we got go-to brothers and sisters, you know, we'll call Sean and get help from Sean, or we'll call Ginger and get help from Ginger, whatever it is, or something, and that's fine, okay, that's great. But my question is, who's calling Ginger just to serve her? Who's calling Sean just to serve Sean? Who's calling, you know, Michelle just to serve Michelle? Or EJ? Not because we need anything from EJ. EJ, can you fix this, do this, whatever. But just to encourage him, to serve him, to, hey, brother, are you bleeding? How are you handling this dangerous road that we're on right now? How can I, who's calling Kim? Who's calling whoever? Who's calling these people? Maureen, who's calling Maureen or Wanda just to serve them? That I know in my life, in my drama, I'm praying for a Samaritan, right? But am I willing to stop in the middle of my drama and be a Samaritan to somebody else? to see them, not to see myself, not to see my surroundings, what's going on with me, to stop and see them, to have compassion on them, to tend to their wounds, and cost myself something, pour wine, pour energy, pour love, pour time, to put them in the end, to stay with them till they get through it. To take, to step out of my drama for a minute and embrace somebody else's. He says, man, that person that loves is a neighbor. And you know, the standard is even higher for brothers and sisters. As we find out in John 13, 34 and 35, God calls us to be the Samaritan. God calls us to be a neighbor, a brother, a sister. People on the job, people in the world, not get so caught up in whatever our cause is that we don't see people. And their need, and their heart, and their situation, and their story, right or wrong. Have empathy and bind the wounds. And not be so caught up in my need that I don't see the need for others. Not just wanting to be given to, and like, yeah, I need this. Who's giving to me? Who are you giving to? God is calling us to be the heroes of the story. The hero of the story is God. Working through the Samaritan. Who's the hero on your job? Who's the hero in your neighborhood? Who's the hero in our church right now? It's got to be God working through you and working through me, allowing us to step out of our own drama and care about somebody else's drama. How's that going? How's that going for you right now? Right now, you more the priest? You more the Levite? Or are you more the Samaritan? Hey, we all take turns getting beaten up, right? But we've got to make sure that we take turns being the Samaritan. Looking beyond our situation to really caring about the needs of others. And that's spiritually the people who are lost all around you. Let's not be so caught up in our drama that we're not looking actively to seek and save the lost. Man, thank God for Abril and for Ginger and for Sean and the men and Porter, man. They are making disciples even through the drama. Thank God for Ethan becoming a Christian. And for Hope and Nicole becoming Christians. And for Stephen Payne, who was baptized last Saturday, one of those days, who became a Christian. Thank God for all the souls. Someone stopped, saw them on the road. Got out of the drama and met needs. Thank God for them. We need to be a Samaritan when it comes to the lost. We need a Samaritan when it comes to people on the job, people hurting, people who disagree, people who get on our nerves even. But we got to be the Samaritan. And people in the church, the brothers and sisters, we're hurting, all of us. We're taking turns bleeding. Let's be Samaritans, the good Samaritan to each other. We're all walking a dangerous road, but we've got to take time to look outside of our own walk, our own drama, and to see somebody else, to have pity and compassion on somebody else, and to stop and minister to those needs. Because I know that's what I want. That's the neighbor that I want. That's the neighbor that I've got to be. Who is my neighbor? The one who's the Good Samaritan. Brothers and sisters, let's be good neighbors, good Samaritans, good brothers and sisters to each other. And God, who's the hero of the story, will use us to be his co-stars. As we shine a light during desperate times and give an example of hope, faith, and love that this world and this church and our communities desperately need. Yes, the truth needs to be spoken. People don't need to hesitate to try to make our society better. But the church can season that with love and with grace and example. Not just talking the talk or walking the walk, an example, but we've got to look into our own lives and fix our own house. Fix the favoritism in our house. Fix the prejudice, the selfishness, the racism in our house. To fix the apathy in our house. To be the example of light and love that God wants us to be doesn't mean don't speak truth out there, but we got to live truth in here. Amen. And we've got to be good Samaritans. And God will be the hero of our story and we'll be his co-stars. To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Hope that made sense to you. If it didn't, talk to Sean or somebody and they'll get you straight, okay? But I love y'all. We'll be back next Sunday. We have small groups today. Talk to your small group leader and get in there. If you don't know what that is or who a small group leader is, text us, call us. We'll set you up with a small group. We have them on Sundays and also on for midweek. At this time, I'll close out in a word of prayer and we'll continue on with our small groups. Amen. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for caring for us the way you do. You are the God of God, the Lord of Lords. Thank you. Help us to love each other the way you love us. Help the church to be a shining light of love. Help us as we all are walking down our own Jericho Road through the dangers and the stresses that we have right now, that we're not so caught up in our own drama that we don't care about other people's situations. God, I know that if we do, to God, you can work through us to be the hero of our story. God, forgive me for the times I'm so selfish that I don't care about anybody but me. Forgive me for the times I'm so in my drama that I'm like, well, once my drama ends, I can be a better disciple. Help me to love where I am. We pray for Jacqueline and for Jerry Shepherd and for Maureen and for Ori Mack and for Walter Martin. We pray for all those who are sick and struggles in our church. That God, pray that Jacqueline, because she's sick, is not out of sight, out of mind. That Maureen, because she's older, is not out of sight, out of mind. That all these situations, that God, that we care the way you care. And we love the way you love. That God, we pray for all who are sick. I pray for my own health. That God, help me to be stronger and be able to do more. God, we know that you're working and you're watching. Thank you for your son. We pray all this in your name, through your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.